My boss, Mr. McDonald here at McDonald Broadcasting, saw you speak, and he said I had to get you on the radio because you had some fascinating ideas when it came to the free market. And I know as the Vice President of Strategic and Corporate Alliances at Northwood University, this is your baby, your ball of wax.
Well, it was a pleasure to meet Mr. McDonald, and he was at a talk that I gave in Saginaw last week, and we were discussing the U.S. economy and whether or not the U.S. was on the same path that Europe was in terms of some of the fiscal issues. And I think one of the compelling points that at least Mr. McDonald found compelling was that when you look at our current federal budget, the one for 2012-13 that Mr. Obama just proposed recently, the real problem that we have is that the federal budget is going to be just under $3.8 trillion, but the operational budget is a little over $1.3 trillion. And the problem that we have today is that our tax revenue, Tony, wouldn't even pay for the budget if we did away with the operational budget, meaning defense, the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Energy, the Department of Commerce, etc. So right now, we bring in about $2.5 trillion in tax revenue, and we're spending about $3.8 trillion. And if we looked at the strict accounting of it, if we had our mandated programs and interest on the national debt, even if we eliminated the entire operational budget of the federal government, we'd still have a deficit. And so the real issue is that if we try to get things under control, we either have to cut spending rather significantly or raise taxes. Our current tax structure across corporations and individuals, 52% to balance the budget. So one of the things that I pointed out is that we have a real spending problem, more so than we have a revenue problem in Washington today.
When we look at what's happening over in France in the recent election, it's widely known that country is in financial peril. They need help from the outside, yet its people have voted someone in who claims he's going to spend more money and restore exactly what put that country into bankruptcy. And I wonder if that's coming by way of the United States.
Well, I think that if you take a look at it, France just had their credit rating downgraded earlier this year, as we did late in 2011. And the real problems that you see in France, is as you see in the whole of Europe, is that, the problem is this. You have three ways to finance government. You tax, you borrow, or you inflate. And the European governments have high taxes. Their deficits are higher on average than ours. And right now, the real problem that Greece and France and many other countries have is that before the euro, before the common currency, they could inflate. They could print more money and pay off their debt that way. The value of their currency would be reduced, and they would use inflation to solve their problems. And that is not an option right now, and certainly under Sarkozy and Chancellor Merkel, that was not going to happen. And so right now, the other option for a number of European countries is to get out of the euro and to create their own currencies. The problem with that is that people will cease to accept their currencies, and they're going to have additional financial problems. And so the reality is, for the United States and for Europe, there must be reductions in spending. Higher taxes are not the answer, and certainly inflation is not the answer here in the United States or in Europe. And the other interesting point I think that Americans need to come to grips with is, you can make the argument that in 1900 government consumed 8% of GDP. Today government consumes at all levels, state, local, and federal, 41% of GDP and growing. And that's just too high. The U.S. government, the U.S. economy can't afford that. Private entrepreneurs, private business leaders are being crowded out of the marketplace by a size of government that is larger than it should be.
When we talk to folks who support social programs, We always hear that the rich, that the people who own these businesses and companies are the ones who do well and who prosper when programs are cut. And I just want to get your take on that.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I think that when you look at the first argument that people make is that rich people don't pay enough or they don't pay their fair share, and that's not true. It's as you look at personal income taxes in the United States, the top 10% pay 70% of the personal income taxes. The top one half the top one quarter of 1% pay 21% of the income taxes. So well-to-do people pay their fair share in taxes, and we have now the highest corporate income tax rate in the industrialized world. The reality of it is there are ways that we should be able to reduce the size and scope of government and not have the kinds of losses in efficiency or the safety nets for underprivileged people that exist today in this country.
All right, Dr. Nash, I've got to get to a break. Thanks so much, sir.
Oh, my pleasure, Tony. Look forward to talking with you again.